Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, I want to welcome Dr. T.J. Betts to the podcast. Dr. Betts serves as professor of Old Testament interpretation at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. Dr. Betts, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Look, it's a delight to have you on the program today. We will be talking about preaching the book of Nehemiah and building the conversation out in part from your recently released book, A Pastoral and Exegetical Commentary on Nehemiah. And just a great work you did there. It's both scholarly yet accessible. And our listeners, most of whom are pastors, local church ministers, seminary students and the like, they will benefit, I know, especially as they if they intend to preach through Nehemiah or teach through Nehemiah at some point in the future, they will benefit immeasurably from your book. So thank you for being on the podcast today and to the conversation before us.
Well, it's my privilege, and Nehemiah is near and dear to my heart, so I'm always glad to talk about it.
So before we get into that, give us a little bit of an update on your ministry there at Southern Seminary and your family and any writing projects or other items of ministry in your near-term future our listeners would be interested in.
Yes. Well, my wife and I, her name is Anne. We just celebrated our 33rd anniversary this summer. So she has been patient with me all these years, and that's been God's blessing. And as far as writing, I've done a lot of writing over the summer. Especially, I've been writing for Lexham's context commentary on the Old Testament. And also, I have a book coming out with Broadman and Holman next spring in March about the Psalms 1 through 50. And I have also been writing, I finished up a work writing for Explore the Bible for Lifeway for their curriculum as well, and Job and Ecclesiastes, and the study for Isaiah, I think, is coming out this fall that I wrote as well.
Well, good for you. We look forward to getting those books, and we know they'll be of great use to our listeners and to many beyond this podcast. So thank you for your writing ministry for the church. You mentioned at the front end of our conversation something to the effect of the book of Nehemiah is near and dear to your heart. Why is that the case?
I started pastoring when I was in seminary, a small church in Dayton, Ohio, and I was 23 years old, but the first book I would preach through books, the first book I ever preached through was Nehemiah. And I pastored two other churches, and the first book, I preached through books quite often, expositionally, and at both of those, I preached through Nehemiah as well. And the reason is I saw a book here that teaches the people of God to come together to work toward one purpose, and that is His glory, and to cooperate with one another in doing that. And so I've just seen it as a great book for my life and also for the life of the church.
Is that what led you to produce this commentary?
It really is, at least part of it. A part of it is the message of Nehemiah. But also, the way I wrote it was with in mind for pastors and teachers as well, because what I found when I graduated from seminary, I felt really strong in being able to do exegesis and exposition, but I had difficulty taking that into the pulpit and thinking about that 13-year-old that's sitting there listening to me. How do I preach this in a way, or teach and preach this in a way that's applicable, relatable, to bring out the relevance of the text? And so I wrote this. It's not really technical, although there are some technical aspects to it, and it's not merely devotional, although there are some devotional aspects to it. But it's kind of what I think of as middle of the road. It's making that connection between what I would say, exposition and exegesis, and dealing with that, but taking it a step further to how do you preach this? How do you teach this? How do you make application of this message to the church today?
When we hear the book of Nehemiah, in contemporary evangelicalism, the book often shows itself up in local church life really around two different themes. One is kind of a building theme. A pastor has begun a new tenure at the church, or the church is about to embark upon a new season, or perhaps a new ministry effort, or perhaps even a new building, a building campaign. Mm-hmm. The other is often around the theme or the genre of leadership and what we see about leadership from the book of Nehemiah. Tell us your thoughts on those two topics as it relates to the book of Nehemiah.
Yeah, I think they're very important topics. I think in the book of Nehemiah, we can learn a lot about the need for doing God's work in building and such, and also for leaders. We learn a lot, I think, from Nehemiah with leadership. I would say that those two things are really kind of a part of the book and not necessarily what carry the message of the book. What we see at the very beginning with Nehemiah is he finds out about the desperate situation that the people of Jerusalem are in, and the ruin that Jerusalem itself is in, and he is brokenhearted for his people and for Jerusalem because it was a reproach. And I see with Nehemiah, his biggest concern is that God would be glorified in the lives of his people, and that he was concerned about God's reputation before the nations and those that would look at the people of Judah there, God's covenant people there. So I think that he shows leadership, and we can learn from that. And of course, they needed to rebuild the walls, and he led them in that, and both very important aspects of what he did. But I would say what carries the real message is his desire to see God's promises when he said he would restore his people, that God was faithful to those promises to restore his people. And in so doing, taking the reproach that was on his people and on Jerusalem and turning that to God's glory. And I think that really carries what he is all about, I think.
Well, I appreciate how you answer that, and I suspected you would answer it that way and kind of set you up to answer it that way by how I framed the question. We do see leadership showing up in the book. We do see, you know, forward progress, initiatives showing up in the book, but those are kind of human manifestations of deeper spiritual realities going on. And that's often missed, though, with the shallow reading and shallow preaching of the book. So having said that on the front end, help sharpen our focus a bit as to the major contours of the book itself, how it breaks down, just a kind of a broad outline of the book as you see it.
Yeah, I think a real simple outline that's brief is in the first couple of chapters, we see Nehemiah's preparation to do the work of removing this reproach and you know, getting the city back to what it needs to be. So Nehemiah's preparation, and I'm old school. I was raised on alliteration, so you'll hear this out of me here, but Nehemiah's preparation in the first two chapters, and then the actual work, which is the walls restoration in the center of the book, chapters 3-6. But it's interesting, the wall is done in chapter 6, and yet we still go from chapter 7-13, and that's where we see the people's what I call reformation. And it's a spiritual reformation that takes place with the people. So I think we need to always remember that, yes, it's about rebuilding and the leadership that he showed in the rebuilding, but that's really just not even completely half of the book. And the greater portion of it is really about the spiritual reformation of God's people and the work that he did toward that end.
So you brush up against this, but moving from kind of the structural outlines or outline of the book to the thematic importance, walk us through some of the major themes that show up and some of the major themes that one who would be reading or studying this book should be keeping an eye out for.
Yeah, one I would say is God's sovereignty and providence over the nations and human affairs. I mean, we see a Persian king who had said that they cannot rebuild Jerusalem and put a stop to it. and it looked like it was hopeless, and the people just kind of went on as if it was hopeless and went about their business. And yet God laid on the heart of Nehemiah this concern for the people of God and for his holy city. And he changed the heart of that king. And the king went from telling them they can't rebuild to providing all the materials they needed to rebuild. And so we just see God's sovereignty, his providence, his work in human affairs. Another thing I would say is his faithfulness to his people and his promises, because the Lord, through his prophets, he prophesied that the city of Jerusalem would be destroyed. And yet he also prophesied, for instance, Ezekiel, that they would return and that there would be restoration. And so what we see is his faithfulness both to his promises to destroy, and that's the situation that it begins with, but we see his promises of restoration, and he fulfills that as we look at this. And one other thing I would say, there's several, but one that I think is really important is the priorities of the people of God. Because what we see in Nehemiah is a zeal for God's reputation and God's glory. And it wasn't about Nehemiah. It was really about God's glory, his reputation among the nations. And this, I think, is extremely important in this book. And I guess I will mention one more, and that is the centrality of the worship of the people of God. We see a spiritual renewal that takes place. We see the people coming together as the word of God is read to them and explained to them. And we see that there really was spiritual warfare taking place where there were opponents, but in the midst of that, there was renewal, revival, and worship, and a great thing that happened among the people of God.
As we think about preaching this book and working through it chapter by chapter, passage by passage, bringing the message to bear week after week to God's people, and wanting to bring it to bear in such a way, wanting to bring the book to bear in such a way that we don't lose sight of Christ, of God's redemptive work throughout the history of his people and even intersecting in the book of Nehemiah. Can you help us locate Christ in the book of Nehemiah? Not so much, you know, chapter and verse here and there like some sort of Christophany, but thematically, the message of redemption, the work of redemption through Christ. Help us draw some lines from Nehemiah to the person and work of Christ.
Absolutely. For instance, Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Well, we see this reflected in Nehemiah. His desire is to do the work that God laid upon his heart. And we see that he wasn't going to allow anything to keep him from that. So we see the mindset of Christ, I think, exemplified. I think also in Nehemiah's life, this is often overlooked, but it's amazing thing to if we just look at Nehemiah's prayer life, and we think of Jesus and how he often withdrew from the disciples and the crowds to pray, and we see that Nehemiah was a man of prayer. And another thing, we know that Jesus was very sensitive to the needs of the people around him, and Nehemiah was spiritually aware of the needs around him, and he had the spiritual awareness that we see, of course, exemplified completely and perfectly in Christ. But as we think about salvation and restoration, I think that when we see, for instance, the spiritual warfare that takes place, we see and we think about Christ's victory over our enemies. As we think about that in the New Testament, the book of Nehemiah, I think, is a great picture of the revitalization of the people of God and the victory over their enemies and the salvation that we have in him. And as I think about salvation, yes, we're justified, but also we are being sanctified. And I see that really coming out in this book, where we see God at work among his people, and that salvation that we have in Christ as we continue to grow more in the likeness of Christ, we see this work. And they step back, and then they need to move forward again. And I think that's a lot like what we see in our our lives as Christians, that sometimes we falter and the Lord graciously moves us along and gets us back on track. And so I see that. And one last thing, I guess I think of is Christ's instruction. We see here that when we see Jesus, for instance, saying that we need to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and strength, I see that in the life of Nehemiah. So I think there's several what we could call maybe pictures of Christ that really anticipate the fully these things in Christ, but we see them in the book of Nehemiah.
So sharpening our focus even more from preaching thematically broadly to finding Christ and preaching Christ from Nehemiah. What does the book itself, and again, here I'm thinking especially for those who listen to our podcast who are preachers and teachers who intend to preach and teach from this book. What does this book, Nehemiah, what are some of the lessons it has for the people of God?
Well, I would say that we should learn from Nehemiah, for instance, that we shouldn't be shocked when there's opposition against us when we're doing the Lord's work. And another thing I think that's really great about Nehemiah, I think that sometimes in the church we miss that spirituality and practicality go together. In some circles, especially when I was growing up, it seemed if you were practical about doing the Lord's work, then that wasn't very spiritual. But I think Nehemiah shows us that true faith and spirituality is shown and demonstrated through practicality and taking the steps needed to do what God has called us to do. And I think that, as I mentioned, Nehemiah's life, we see him just praying, and not these long, extensive prayers, his longest prayers in chapter one, but we see whenever he gets into a situation, just a short word of prayer right then, he says, I prayed to my Lord, or prayed to God, and then I gave an answer to the king, for instance. So we see here that he really was a man that prayed without ceasing, in that sense that it was just a way of life with him as he served the Lord. And I think we need to be encouraged that no matter how broken down things may seem to us, we live in a culture today that just seems like it's just in great turmoil, really is. And yet, no matter how broken down things may be and people may be, God is able to restore and use them for his glory. And I think that's a message that we see for the people of God in Nehemiah.
So when you look at the book itself and preaching through the book of Nehemiah, give us some counsel as to how we should think of breaking it up as far as how many sermons one might preach from this book if you're preaching through it from beginning to end.
Now you're causing me to plug my book a little bit more, I guess, but that was my mindset in writing the book, and I broke it down, and the book, I think, breaks down nicely into 14 sections, and I had in mind 14 sermons, basically, with that. So it's about 3 months, a little more than 3 months, that would be, and if you were preaching once a week through that, but I think that there's just a natural breakdown, and in the book, I set that up. And really, when I wrote the book again, I had preaching and pastors in mind, especially with that, or even teaching small groups. But I think 14 works really well.
For those listening who might want to look for resources in addition to your book, any recommended commentary or commentaries you would point us to?
Yes. If you're looking for, when I preach, normally I look for three types of commentaries. I look for one that is technical. I look for one that's maybe more devotional, and then one that's kind of middle of the road. One that's technical that I really like is Andrew Steinman's work in the Concordia commentary series. He does a really good job, I think. And then another commentary I would say that is maybe a little more middle of the road is Derek Kidner's work in the Tyndale series. But those are two very good commentaries, I think, that would be helpful as well.
Well, Dr. Betts, you've been really helpful to our listeners today. And let me just come back to you with perhaps one final question. Just any other concluding advice, any other word of wisdom to give for those of us who are looking to preach through this book?
You know, I would just say preach it. I mean, that's not very deep, I realize, but the message of Nehemiah is relevant for every believer today. And the reason, again, I preached it in my churches is because we as a people, we need to be zealous for God's reputation, and we need to join together in doing the work that he's called us to do for his glory. And Nehemiah is just a wonderful book that does that and shows us a picture of what true revival looks like and renewal among the people of God. And I think that just get in there and study the book of Nehemiah, and you'll see just how relevant it is for the church today.
Dr. Betts, thank you for joining me on Preaching and Preachers.
Well, thank you, Dr. Allen. I appreciate you inviting me.
Thank you for being with us today and for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, go to my website, jasonkallen.com. That's jasonkallen.com.